I have. I just have to mind the Lord. I heard a man quote this verse today, and I can't seem to get it off my heart. I've got a message prepared, but I don't believe the Lord's going that way. And so I just want to read this verse and maybe just give a few thoughts. I guess God's got a purpose for it. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray tonight, God, that I've not missed you, Lord. I pray that, God, that you would bring to my mind what you'd have me to say. Lord, put the words in my mouth. I trust you, Father, Lord, tonight. Help us, dear God, in this church, Lord, to put our trust in you. Lord, I need you right now. I ask you, God, that you might, Lord, speak to our hearts and touch us through your word. And whatever's accomplished, Lord, we'll give you the praise for it and the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, this is the faith chapter. This is the hall of faith. I want to read verse number 21. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. If you want to title it tonight, I want to title it Learning to Lean. Learning to lean on God. God allows things in our life. He brings circumstances in our life to teach us to lean. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. We need to learn to lean. We spend our Christian life learning to lean. The Bible says here that Jacob, leaning upon the top of his staff when he died, was worshiping God. Isn't that a strange verse? Here's a man dying, he's blessing two children, and he's worshiping God, leaning upon his staff. You say, why is he doing that, preacher? Because most of his life, he leaned upon a staff. Most of his life, God was teaching him to lean. He was learning to lean through his circumstances. Just to briefly summarize Jacob's life, Jacob was a conniver. Jacob was a prankster. Jacob was a deceiver. And Jacob deceived his father. He deceived his brother. He deceived his uncle. He lived that kind of a life. And yet, for some reason, unworthy as he was, God still loved him. And God still chose him. And I think about some of us tonight and how unworthy as we are and unholy as we are at times, God still chooses us and He still loves us in spite of ourselves, in spite of our trouble, in spite of all of our mischief. God still loves us. Amen. I'll say amen right there. God loves us in spite of what we do, in spite of who we are. God still finds a way and finds a room to love us. Amen? And that's what He did to Jacob. Jacob spent his life conniving and deceiving other people to get advantage in this life. Jacob had a problem that many Christians have tonight. He had a self problem. Amen? He was self-sufficient. Jacob was sufficient in himself. If there's one thing I know that God don't like about our lives is that we're self-sufficient. God wants us to learn to lean on Him. God does not want us to be self-sufficient, self-sustaining, to learn to lean on ourselves. God wants us to put our faith and our trust in Him, not in our flesh. The arm of flesh will fail you. Our flesh is good for nothing, amen. It'll get you nowhere in life. It cannot please God in any way, shape, or form. God wants us, and so what happens? God allows circumstances to come into our life to teach us to learn to lean. We're learning. It's a process. Jacob learned to lean on God. Jacob deceived his brother. You know the story, how that his brother, just for a little porridge, just for a little plate of chili or some beans or something, he was willing to sell his birthright. Listen, Jacob stole Esau's birthright that God was going to give him anyway. God was going to give it to Jacob, but Jacob couldn't learn to wait on God. Jacob, in his self-sufficiency, I had to do it Jacob's way. And because of that, he caused a great turmoil in his family. His brother hated his life. He wanted his life. And finally, the day came when Jacob had to face his Waterloo. He was going to face his brother, and his brother with some 400 men of war, and Jacob's coming, and Jacob's got all of his animals and all of his family, and he separates them. He divides some over here, some over there, some over there. He puts the ones that are least loved up front. In case Esau decides to take their life, he'll be rid of them first. Amen. He was always thinking about himself. He was always self-sufficient and self-sustaining. And so he put those up front. But he separated his families. And then when he came to meet Esau, before he met him, he spent a night alone, just him and God. It was a theophany. It was Jesus Christ before the virgin birth. It was an appearance of Jesus Christ, an appearance of God in the Old Testament. And he met with the man of God, and he wrestled with him all night long. And just about the break of day, he said, "Let me go, Jacob." And Jacob said, "Not until you bless me." About that time, he reached down and touched the hollow of his thigh and shriveled up those ligaments and tendons. Listen to me, folks. I want you to see something here. Jacob was not an old man when he wrestled with the man of God. But Jacob spent the rest of his life learning to lean. Jacob spent the rest of his life walking with a staff because God touched him. God crippled him to give him a crown. Amen? God crippled his life to give him a crown. God will cripple your life to give you a crown. God hurt him, but he didn't harm him. Amen. God will hurt your life, but he won't harm your life. Kind of like my dad done when I was a boy. Amen. He hurt me sometime, but he never harmed me. Amen. So, hey, that's the way parents are. They're supposed to hurt you, but they're not supposed to harm you. And God does that to you. Say, "Preacher, will God hurt me?" You better believe God will hurt you. Amen. God will cripple you. And God will, hey, what will it do? It'll teach you to learn to lean on God. We're living in a day where men are self-sufficient. We just live for ourselves. Everything is about us. Everything is evolved around us. Everything is what's in it for me. Hey, listen, don't turn me off just because I don't have an outline. Amen. I've got a message from God, and we need to understand tonight that we need to learn to lean on God. Amen. God is our very present help in time of trouble. Well, why can't He be a help when there is no trouble? Why can't we just talk to Him when nothing's going wrong? Hey, God touched Jacob. God touched his thigh, the hollow of his thigh. And what God does for good. And he leaned on that staff the rest of his life. Now listen to me. He said, "Let me go, Jacob." Now, do you really honestly think that God wanted Jacob to let him go? You know what God was doing? God was bluffing to see how bad Jacob wanted God. Are you hearing me tonight? God did that all through the Word of God. God would bluff. Hey, you ought to look at sometime in the passages where God bluffed people just to show them where their heart was. God wanted Jacob to know how much he wanted God, amen. God wanted to hear Jacob and cry out for God, amen. He wanted to know how much Jacob wanted God. God bluffed him. You know what God did with the Syrophoenician woman? When she came to him and she said, "Lord, would you help me? My daughter is sick and she needs you, Lord." And you know what Jesus said? "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs," amen. You say, what was he doing? Bluffing. He was bluffing her. He wanted to see how bad she wanted him. Amen. You know something? You'll never really worship God until you crucify your flesh. Until you get your flesh out of the way, you'll never really worship God in spirit. And what did Jesus do? He insulted her flesh. He said, "Man, if she can take that kind of an insult and still hunger for me, if she can take that kind of an insult and still desire me and still beg me and still..." Hey, great is thy faith. If she can take what I'm dishing out. You know what he did first of all? He just didn't even say nothing to her. You ever had anybody ignore you? Not kind of like some of you doing me right now. You ever been ignored? You ever just had somebody ignore you? Sometimes I get in a talk with my wife and she just won't answer me. She'll get a little piffed about something, you know. I mean, something stupid, it's always. And it's got to be, amen. I mean, she'll get a little piffed and she'll be washing dishes or... No, not washing dishes. We got one of them automatic ones to do that. I love you too, honey. I'll say something and she just won't speak. I'd rather her throw something. I mean, do something, but don't ignore me. Don't act like I'm not in the room. Amen. I mean, you know what it's like to be just somebody act like you're not even there? You ladies, you know what I'm talking about. You do that all the time. And sometimes your husband does it. Amen. She thinks I can't hear. My wife thinks I can't hear. But it's selective hearing. Amen. I just hear what I need to hear. I don't hear idle words. I just hear what's important. Amen. I'm digging a hole, brother. You're going to have to help me get out of this after a while. Sometimes she accuses me of not listening to her. Sometimes she'll be talking and I'm looking somewhere. And she thinks I'm not listening. You know, do you know what? I am a coordinated person. I can look and listen at the same time. She don't believe that. She thinks when I'm not looking in her eyes, I'm ignoring her. Amen.
You know what it feels like to be ignored? That's what Jesus was doing to that woman. She pleaded for mercy and he never even acknowledged her. He talked to his disciples. Read the passage. He didn't even acknowledge she was there. And then when he spoke to her, he called her a... Well, that's the modern term. That's the nicer version. Amen. Anybody know what a female dog is? That's what he was saying to her. And he ignored her and then he insulted her. You know what he was doing? He was insulting her flesh. And he knew if this woman is serious, if she really is serious, she'll get over it. And just like that, she did. And she said, even so, Lord, the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And never, he said, great is thy faith. Think about that. What was he doing? He was bluffing her. Sometimes God will bluff you to see how bad you want him. Are you hearing me tonight? God wants you to learn to lean on him. If there's one thing I know that God hates about your life, it is self-sufficiency. God cannot tolerate your self-sufficiency. When you think that you can handle the situation, God will say, okay, handle it. And let you fall flat on your face to show you that you have to lean on him. God don't just God don't just put words in the Bible just so you'll have something lovely to read. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. It's a promise from God, but we got to learn to lean on God. Amen. He leaned on God. God crippled him so he could crown him. Amen. He crippled his life and taught him to lean on God. He crippled him so he could crown him. He broke him so he could bless him. Do you know that's what God does to us? He breaks us so he can bless us. You say, what will that do? It'll teach us to learn to lean on God. That is God's intention for your life. Now listen to me. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I'm not talking to you. God only has one intention and one purpose for your life tonight, and that's for you to get saved. Nothing else matters. But I'm talking to Christians tonight. I'm talking to people that say they're born again and they trusted Jesus Christ to get them to heaven and keep them out of hell. And why can't you trust him for that doctor's visit? Why can't you trust him for that tragedy? Why can't you trust him? Hey, God, everything that happens in our life, every single episode, God wants us to learn to lean on him and not to trust our stinking flesh. That's God's purpose for our life. God wants you to trust him. God wants you to forsake your flesh, get rid of your sufficiency, and put it all in God's basket. Amen. He's teaching us. He wants us to learn to lean on him. And here's Jacob. All of his life, he's walking with a staff. You know what God's doing? He's teaching him. He's learning to lean. He's learning to trust something else. You know something? We have trusted our stinking flesh and ourselves for so long. One of the hardest things you'll ever do as a Christian is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It is hard It's hard to take something that you've been doing all your life and change. And all of a sudden, trust somebody else for it. It's like pastoring. It's kind of like pastoring. I don't think nobody can do it right, a job in the church, so I try to do it. I don't feel like it's enough. I can't do it all. Folks, I'm burning out. The Bible says, bear you one another's burdens. We gotta get help for one another. We gotta learn to carry one another's burdens. Amen. Listen, you know what? I got everybody has a problem. I try to fix it. Where do I take mine? Where do I go? You know what? If there's ever been a time when I got to learn to lean, it's now. You got to learn to lean on God. You're going to trust that thing that you've been trusting. You know what God's going to do? He's going to knock the props out from under you time and time and time again. Hey, wouldn't it be nice if we could just learn to trust Him and lean on Him and not have to go through them storms? It'd be good if we could just trust Him and without Him having to shake and rattle our cage so we can get our attention. Why does He have to do that? Because we're self-sufficient. You know what I'm finding out in the pastorate about being self-sufficient? I'm cutting my year short. I am wasting away. This thing right here, I know why preachers are quitting the ministry. I know why I've got friends in the ministry that have shot themselves. I know why I know preachers that have hung themselves. I know why they've run off. I know why some have fallen out. I understand. When you get so self-sufficient and all you know how to do is trust your way and your thinking, I don't want to be that way. We got to learn to lean. If you don't, listen, whatever is going on in your life right now, whatever you're facing right now, I can tell you what God's purpose is in it. He wants you to learn to lean on Him. If you can't do that, you know what He's going to do? He's going to send you another test. And there's going to be another storm. And there's going to be more trouble. And there's going to be more sorrow. You say, why, preacher? So you'll learn to lean on Him. You're not as self-sufficient as you think you are. Jacob, all that self-sufficiency and all that worrying and all that strategy, he had everything strategically placed. Everything was just right, and nothing turned out the way he planned. Nothing was like he imagined. Nothing, you know what? 99.9% of everything you worry about does not come to pass. You know what that is? Threats from the devil. That's all it is. He's just threatening you. You know what I found out about the devil, Brother Mark? Most everything he is threat. When has he ever followed through with a threat in your life? When has the devil threatened you and actually lived up to it? It's all just threats. But you know what God does with them? He wants us to learn to lean on Him. And so here Jacob is. He's dying. He's fixing to leave this world. And he blesses Joseph's two boys, leaning on his staff that he started leaning on years and years before, trying to do it his way until God made it impossible. Can I tell you something? God can make it impossible in your life for you to be self-sufficient. Did you know that? God can take away your remedies. And you know what he'll leave you with? A staff. Learning to lean on God. You know what? Our Christian life would be so much better if we could just learn to lean. I look back on my life and I see hindsight's always 20/20. I see times when all the pressure and all the torture and all the trouble could have been cut away if I'd have just trusted him to start with. But you go through all that struggle and all that burden and all those trials, and then you look back and you see God fixed it. Why didn't I just trust him in the beginning? What's he doing, preacher? He wants us to learn to lean. That's what he did with Jacob. God knows how to make you do that. But you know what? He'd rather have you just do it. He'd rather have you just resign to lean on him and trust him. Do you know what trust is? Faith. It's just believing him, taking him at his word. God, you said it. I believe it. I'm going to trust you for it. And forget about it. No, we can't do that. We're like Jacob. Well, I'm leaning on you, Lord, but I'm going to hold this just in case. I'm going to keep this just in case it don't work out. That's not trust. That's self-sufficiency. It don't work with God. If there's one thing I know, Christian, about your life and my life, I know that God hates self-sufficiency. He wants us to learn to lean on him. Stand with me, please.